Chapter 7 A New Heart. Whereas justification is an authoritative declaration by a righteous judge, regeneration is a powerful creative act by an almighty creator. This creative act is described in the Bible in terms of different realities, each of which brings out different facets of what regeneration is. We have already noted that regeneration is portrayed in Scripture as both a new creation and a new man. It is also described in a third way. It is described as the giving of a new heart. The promise of a new heart.
Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanness. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord God. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 32.
One of the most wonderful promises of the gospel is the promise of a new heart and a new spirit, verse 26. This is something that God gives, verse 26. And he gives it to every Christian. In Genesis 6:5, we are told that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Again, it is said that the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. In another place, we are told that the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Such things are not true of the heart of a Christian. The Christian has been given a new heart. He has become pure in heart. An Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Such statements cannot be made about those whose hearts are more deceitful than all else and desperately sick, lest any should suppose that the believer has both an old heart and a new heart. God specifically says, I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Verse 26. Instead of a hard, cold, unfeeling heart, the Christian is given a soft, warm, living heart that is sensitive to the things of God. All Christians live changed lives. In connection with his giving of a new heart, God also promises to put his spirit within us and to cause us to walk in his statutes. Verse 27. The certain result of this inner working of the Holy Spirit is that every Christian will be careful to observe God's ordinances, commandments. Verse 27. This means that it is absolutely impossible to have a new heart and yet continue to live in sin. In our day, it is not uncommon to hear statements like this. That person is a Christian, but he's lived his life in disobedience to God. Impossible. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. That person has been a Christian for many years, but he's never grown. Unthinkable. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will save you from all your uncleanness. When God begins a good work in us, He will never rest until every idol comes down and all filthiness is cleansed from our lives. He is determined to be our God, and He will share us with no other. Promises, not exhortations. It is important to realize that the statements of Ezekiel 36 are promises as to what God will do, not exhortations as to what Christians ought to do. These promises are unconditional and always fulfilled in every believer. God secures these results, not man. Notice again what God promises to do in these verses. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. In response to such precious and magnificent promises, every Christian should lift shouts of praise to God. The New Covenant.
Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again, each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34.
These glorious promises are quoted in the New Testament regarding the new covenant, of which every Christian is a partaker. Notice that justification is one of the blessings promised in the new covenant. I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more, verse 34. But promised right along with justification and inseparably tied to it is regeneration. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, verse 33. Justification and regeneration are forever bound together in the new covenant. All those who would use their supposed justification as an occasion to continue in sin only prove that they are not partakers of the new covenant. Once again, we see that God never gives someone an A at the beginning of his Christian life without simultaneously giving him a love for the material. Internal righteousness. Under the Old Covenant, the law was written outside of men on tablets of stone. This is always the relationship between law and the unregenerate man. Law comes to him from the outside and imposes standards on him that he hates. Law tells him what he ought to do, but gives him neither the desire nor the power to do it. At best, law can only give an external righteousness, like that which the scribes and Pharisees had. Jesus said that they were like cups that had been cleaned only on the outside, whitewashed tombs which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. By contrast, the new covenant promises an internal righteousness. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. On reflection, it becomes clear that this is the same promise as the one given in Ezekiel 36:26, the promise of a new heart that loves and wants to obey God. How different true Christianity is from the external religion of all Pharisees. The true Christian follows God because he has a new heart, one with the essence of God's law, love to God and man, written on it. Three great certainties.
And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me always for their own good and for the good of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me. And I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will faithfully plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 38 through 41.
In these verses, God again speaks of the everlasting covenant that he will make with his people. The promises of this covenant are glorious beyond words. Much could be said about each of them, but notice these in particular. I will give them one heart and one way, and they may fear me always for their own good. I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me. All Christians have one heart. All Christians have one heart. This is made absolutely certain by the fact that God promises this heart as a gift. I will give them one heart. Christians are not told that they ought to have one heart. They are promised one heart as a free gift. All Christians have the same heart. All of them worship in the Spirit of God and the glory in Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. All of them love the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of them love other Christians. This one heart explains why two Christians can meet for the first time on a plane or a bus and experience more real fellowship with each other in 30 minutes than they can with their lost family members in a lifetime. All Christians have one way. All Christians have one way. Again, this is a promise of God. We are not told that all Christians ought to have the same way. We are told that one way will be given to them, in verse 39. All Christians are moving in the same direction, upward and Godward. Some are moving more quickly than others, and all experience temporary setbacks, but in the general course of their lives, all are traveling the same path and headed toward the same goal. This means that anyone who travels a different path that leads in a different direction is simply not a Christian. The one who says, "I have come to know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar, not a carnal Christian, and the truth is not in him. All Christians preserve in holiness. All Christians preserve in holiness until the end. Notice once more the promises of Jeremiah 32. Not only has God promised not to turn away from us, I will not turn away from them to do them good. He has also promised to do a work in our hearts that ensures we will not turn away from him. I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me. Again, this is a promise. and it is something that God does. Into the hearts of all Christians, He puts an ongoing, holy fear of Himself that secures their abiding faithfulness to Him. This is true biblical security, and it is much different than the flippant once saved, always saved that is often taught in our day. Security is not a matter of getting saved, then living a life of sin and still going to heaven. Neither is it a matter of being thrown into a locked room at conversion and not being let out, no matter how much we pound on the door wanting to escape. There are no external restraints preventing a Christian from returning to his former life. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they had went out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. You are quite free to do so. No one will stop you. But if you were a Christian, to go back is not your desire. How could it be, since you have been given a heart that loves and fears God? The security of the believer thus flows from the very nature of the new covenant. The great fault of the old covenant was that the people did not continue in it. The new covenant was established specifically to remedy this situation. It does so by God's putting His law inside of us. In the new covenant, God puts within our hearts a love for Him that causes us to cleave to Him and to heed His warnings. At the time of the Passover, the children of Israel were warned that none of them should go outside the door of his house until the morning, but rather stay under the shelter of the blood. What would have happened if they had ignored this warning? They would have surely perished. But the fact is, they did not ignore the warning. They were afraid to go outside. So they all stayed in their houses until morning, and none of them perished. So it is with every Christian. Praise the Lord.